This is a series on the Apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to begin reading in this first session at Luke chapter, so Luke 6 and verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Okay, now I want to say thanks to everybody that's come to be here. I don't know if this is going to take two times or three times or four times, but what I've done is I've started on something, and I like to finish what I start. So I don't know what we're going to do if it goes. It's not going to go any further than that, so don't the rest of you worry about that. But this is something that I've had an exercise to talk about this for a long time, and I've got a whole bunch of other things on my pile, too, that I'd like to talk about. But, you know, there's Amos, and there's, the guy in the boat. No, the guy in the fish. Jonah, thank you. And I got a number of other things I've been working on because I got all this time. And, you know, what do you do? What do you do time? Go for a walk. If you want to do that so many times, and now I'm not walking very good anyway. Although yesterday, no, was it yesterday? Was it Friday? Tuesday? Maybe it was Tuesday, our grocery day. I haven't been able to walk through Costco anymore. I get to the place with the car, and we park the car, and I crawl out, and she calls out, and my foot goes sideways like this or something, and I can't, it won't work. So I says, well, I can't walk through there like that. This is crazy. I'm going to be knocking into people all over the place. So I sit in the car. Well, last Tuesday, I guess it was, we were there to get our groceries. And I walked all the way to the back of Costco and back out. No stop, no brakes or nothing. Then we went to Walmart. You know, Walmart's crazy right now. They're redoing everything. Well, we walked all the way to the back corner and back. Not we weren't together, but so she just has to believe me that I made it. But, you know, that was, I was just sitting on, I wasn't high on drugs, but I was high on something that was really happy and good in my life that I could walk with my wife through Costco and back. I hope that continues. So we'll see what happens with that. But what I have in my mind about this portion we've read here from Luke is the apostles of the Lord Jesus. I've never heard anybody talk. Well, I've heard people talk about this, but to use it for a subject like this, I don't know. Maybe we could find one on Voices for Christ or something, but. When I started looking into this, you know, and I'm not gonna give you the whole thing. I don't have the whole thing for one thing, but there's just so much information you can plug into something before it gets further and further away from the subject, and you're not really making any headway with it. So what I've tried to do is get this pared down a little bit so that we can use it. Somebody I was writing a letter to, I told him, I says, well, you just give me a few minutes and we'll redo this a little bit and I'll make it more useful for you. And so I rewrote it and we sent it off and it was all right. But that's what I want to try to do with this. I don't want to get bogged down in all the mud holes and the grass pits on the road. I just want to think about the basic of what we're thinking of. Now the apostles were the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appointed them. We saw part of that in the portion we read in Luke chapter 6. He appointed them while he was here. He appointed first there was 12 disciples. Now, as far as I can tell, for the most part, the 12 disciples correspond to the 12 apostles. I know this may sound like little kid stuff, but it's really quite interesting. Because when you consider the background of what's going on with these guys here, their lives have been radically changed. They've been taken out of whatever they were involved in, and they're going to serve the Lord. And their apostles, while he's still here, but he's going to go. Now, if I had a job and the guy gave me the job, and he says, "This is what you got to do," and later on you'll learn to all do all this other stuff after I'm gone. No, you don't go anywhere. You come back here and stay until you get your job done, and then you send me to do your job when I know it. Well, but this is the kind of thing that was happening in their life. They were getting all of a sudden a complete change of everything. I mean, like some of these fellows, Matthew, as far as we know, is a tax collector. Well, he's not a tax collector anymore. He's an apostle. And I mean, the other ones, John's a fisherman and Peter's a fisherman and some others are fishermen and they do other jobs, but not anymore. They're going to serve the Lord Jesus. And to watch what happens, he got up one morning. They knew he had been praying all night about. They didn't know he was praying all night about this. Maybe they did, but he came out amongst them from where he was praying, and he told them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You're my disciples, and as far as I can tell, it was closely the same list. You're my apostles. An apostle is 100% necessary guy for the church age to happen. Now you might say, why? Because when this world went into the church age, what did we leave? We left Judaism and all those things that went with that. And so when we become a Christian now, somebody's been doing the background work on what it means to be a Christian. What do you do? Do you go down to the temple and do a sacrifice? No, you don't. The sacrifice happened on the cross. It's over. And these fellows have to relearn basically everything they learned about life. They're not just, casually saying, "Yeah, I'm an apostle, and I kind of do this and do that." It's not that big a deal. That's not the way it was. When they had a problem in Corinth, in the assembly in Corinth, they needed apostolic help to get over that problem. When they had a problem in some other assembly, they had to help them work it out. Just like if they had a problem with their friends amongst themselves, they did have problems that sometimes they didn't agree on everything. And that happens, but they had to work it through. So these fellows, I'm trying to get you to think about a little background for what's happening. Let's just say our whole society, as we know it, has been rubbed off of the whiteboard. And we got all new rules. We got all new things that we do. We preach. We talk to people. We try to reach them by being a friend to them. Whatever it takes. That's what we're here for. Now, the role of the apostles was to give us, now get this, it was to give us the New Testament truths. Where did we get the idea of meeting like this? Anybody know? The apostles received, it says it right in the Bible, they received from God and they gave it to the rest of us. I should have saved this, but I want to get it out because I think it's cool. The apostles had power. When they went out on, actually what we read about here in Luke chapter 6, there's more to that chapter and there's more to the other portions. There's two other main portions where we find out about these apostles, where the Lord is actually sending them out right now and while he's here for a campaign. And he's, He's giving them the power to heal. He's giving them the power to judge, you know, do something to somebody because they were out and doing the wrong things. No. He gave them the power to raise the dead from the grave. Now, if you were somebody, all of a sudden you got that in your hands, that power, you don't mess around with that. You have to be a very disciplined, a very forthright, a very honest. You can't tell anybody untruths about anything. You've got to be absolutely God's own man. See, he only started with maybe 12. Well, you have to take one off for Judas Iscariot. And then when they were in the in that room, you know, Peter said, well, we need to find a replacement for this guy that hung himself. And what are we going to do? So they decided to cast lots. It was perfectly well within their reasonable limits of their functioning as an apostle. It was perfectly well within their situation to do what they did. They cast lots. That's what they knew. And they got an answer. I don't know how God answered, but they made it very clear that this man, Matthias, was the one that was chosen to take the Judas Iscariot's place. So, you see, you know, when you're thinking about that now, what does that make you feel like? I mean, if it were me, I'd feel like, whoa, you know, this is a nice car, but don't touch one button because it might be the one that sends the rocket seat up with the passenger in it, you know, or whatever. Not really, but I just found that it was just a bit overwhelming to start to think, these people are born-again Christians as well. And they've got to go out and deal with all sorts of problems. They had a problem where they weren't distributing the funds fairly, you know, people felt. And they needed to get things straightened out, so they appointed seven men that were honest and a good report and so on. And they appointed them to do it, and it went fine after they got it figured out. So those kinds of things are coming up in your life. You don't want to be sitting on the fence somewhere and saying, I'm not so sure I want to do this anymore. It was a commitment. So let's just look. I just like to look at the portion in Matthew 10. If you can find your Bible somewhere, Matthew 10. I'm going to make a little bit of progress here today. If I sound like I'm a little bit not excited, but stirred up about this kind of thing, reading this, I'll just have to ask you to tell me to cool it down a little bit, and I'll cool it down. But Matthew 10, verse 1. This is another account of the choosing. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles, notice the change, are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. That's another term for tax collector. I know you know that. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, I can notice here in chapter 10 of Matthew, where we're just read. Chapter 10, we could read verses 1 to 4, and we get that list. But, you know, we've done things with different people As I as one of the greatest things you can do is to find some brother that's a good gospel worker, and link up with him where if he's going to a campground or something somewhere, and spend time doing what he's doing. That'll change your life. Anyway, verse 5 it says of this portion in Matthew 10. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." Now, this guy's job that he's getting given here, this campaign he's going to go out on, he's getting a lot of detail thrown at him about what he has to do and what he's going to wear and what he's not going to have and what he's not going to not I mean not to wear, but what I mean is what he's not going to have the money that he would likely take on a normal trip. And he tells them, no scrip for your journey, neither two coats, this is verse 10, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." This is just for maybe a few weeks that they did this. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought or how what you shall speak, for given you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father of the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death." Now, I don't want to get too bogged down, so I'm going to stop. But the rest of this chapter is still more stuff that they had to know, that he wanted them to follow. That was the way he wanted it done. Now, if the Lord Jesus said to you, or if he said to me, "John, I want you to go to such and such a place, go down that road and go down there and talk to that guy three houses down. You remember the guy, you know what he's talking about. Oh, I'm going to take a different way." No, he said, "No, listen, I told you, you go down here, you go over there, and you go over there. You don't argue with him." I'm not saying that doing work for the Lord would be a problem. But the thing is he is a little higher than we are. And all these things that he was telling them were things that he wanted them to follow. So now, let's just take for a minute and expand that a little bigger. You got a group of Christians in Jerusalem. It's a large group. And what are you going to do? How do you handle all the things? It's people coming, they're lying about what they're giving, and there's other people that are doing this and doing that. And what do you do? That's what the apostles were for. They got a word from God. It wasn't just to solve all the little petty problems or big problems, but that's what the apostle was for. He was to deliver the message of God's mind through him to the people. That's how they learned how to do what they did. They didn't all get it on the same night of their conversion. In fact, I don't think any of them could. You want to sit down and look at the what? Here, let's go to another verse. I just want to try to get a little few thoughts going around in your mind a little bit tonight. You didn't know, or today, you didn't know that was happening, did you? No, I'm not messing with your mind, so don't worry. Okay. Acts chapter 2, the wonderful portion about verse 41, Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word, now this is the preaching of Peter, they trusted Christ. And it says they gladly received his word, were baptized. That's the next thing they do. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now listen carefully, real carefully. The order and what's happening. 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. Okay, that's simple enough. And fellowship. And in breaking bread. And in prayers. That's what they were doing. They were already that far. They had come a ways as Christians. They're not gonna be in a synagogue. They're not gonna be in a Sikh temple or whatever they have. They're gonna be gathering with Christians, sometimes maybe in somebody's garage or shack or whatever they could find. But they met together. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why would you think, I'm not going to call on anybody, but think about it. What would make you think that that would be the first thing we should have in this list? Think about it logically. The apostles were those that brought the mind of God down to the people and told them what they should do. They didn't tell them everything. They couldn't do all that. It took time, but it happened. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Well, the reason it has to be there first is because they wouldn't know what to do about all the other things for, but if they hadn't heard the doctrinal part of this. So that's what they were doing first. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Nobody was, well, there were people that were arguing, that were unwilling to submit. Those things happened. You get people in a setting, you're going to have problems. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the fellowship is really the way it might be better written. That's how they did it. The apostles' doctrine led them to have fellowship. You know what this fellowship is? I mean, I'm not trying to condescend to you. I want you to just say, think about it. It's just working together, it's laboring together. I mean, you can get pretty upset with somebody, and maybe you won't work with them for a day, but you come back the next day and work things out. But they had things they were working out, but they were this. There was this fellowship. It was a working together. It was something they all enjoyed. They had a lot less problems than we maybe have today. But that's the second thing. So the apostles' doctrine led them to do what they do. Together, shovel snow, cut the grass. Don't just mean the hall. Anybody's, whatever you have to share together with your fellow believer, do it together. Or you haven't got it yet. You got to go back and learn some of the apostles' doctrine, get things straight, and then come and talk about these things. The next thing was the breaking of bread. If that had been the first, I'd kind of wondered about it. But they would see people coming around and make note of different ones who maybe looked like they were making a problem, and that would have to be dealt with somehow. But it says the fellowship, and then in the breaking of bread, that was a meeting together that they came to. It was probably fairly prominent in this at this point because they were still learning to have other things that they needed in their lives, and then it says in the prayers. That's last, but I think God would like to have it first in a few of His own people's lives. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot or say that anything to anybody here tonight or say, but and in the prayers. It's almost like it's saying, well, that's what they did because that's what they had to do. I mean, these people are getting killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus. Would you pray? Trevor, I would, you know, Jason, what would we do? If we got together, what would we talk about? The gas mileage in our cars or, you know, all the things we normally talk about? What would we talk about? You'd say, boy, I thought they were going to take me in last night because they kind of moved over by me, you know, the guards or whatever, and they're going to take me to jail. I don't want to go to jail. I got a wife and kids, and how are they going to eat? And how all these problems we're going to have. And so they definitely had a prayer meeting. And people prayed like it meant their life to go through to God. Sorry. That's just four areas. It started with the apostles' doctrine. These people, these men that were given this responsibility before God. And there's going to come a time. You see, the Lord Jesus was here 40 days after he rose. 40 days. And then he went home to heaven. There was 10 days till Pentecost. And then the things that happened on Pentecost were all happening. And those things came to pass. But that 40 days, it would have been nice to be there and get your pen and get a good pen because you're going to run out of ink otherwise or whatever. And write down everything that he said. And write down everything that the apostles talked with him about that you could hear, whatever it might be. Get to know where we're going. Don't just you know, take a non-stand approach, but just be part of the group. And so that's what was happening. Let's just look in Mark 6 again. Mark 6. Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 7. This is same campaign that we're looking at, that he's made the choice of these men, and he's sending them out. And he called unto him the 12. Mark 6 and verse 7. And began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. I want to just read one more. I think we've touched it. We looked at it actually. We read that when we read that introductory portion there that that Levi read for us. So we can leave the one in Luke 6, 13. But you can see now they've come to a point where they've got this responsibility, these men. It wasn't just a part-time job that they had, you know, that they work on Saturdays and weekends or something, whatever they do. It wasn't that at all. They were God's men. And we can be glad, you know why? That there's still enough of the pattern and the teaching of these men around that we can follow. What I'm saying is they didn't throw it out because it was part of this. It's part of the Bible. What else would they have? Well, maybe they had little booklets on the apostles' doctrine. I don't know. I don't know that because I don't find it in the Bible that I don't think I did. So this kind of thing began to happen. And the Lord Jesus, 40 days, like I say, after his resurrection, he went all the way to heaven. He's not coming back until he comes back to take his own home. And somehow, we got to get by and make it work. And it's not going to be easy. It's hard. But, you know, when he tells us that he wants the breaking of bread on the first day of the week, that he doesn't want us thinking, well, we can do it our own way. That's the problem that we have, that, you know, people have, is they think that they can say, well, God says he wanted it that way. Well, I think we should do it the other way. We don't have the option. We have a responsibility to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. I meant that's a bigger statement than maybe we think it is sometimes. And I found that going through this, like, for example, here's another one for you. They had men who were becoming very qualified men in the Word of God. You know, Stephen. You know, he preached in Jerusalem there, but they killed him. And there were others that died, but there were some other brethren that were not part of that original 12 that became apostles too. I just want to look at some of these because we're about 7 or 8 minutes here. Other brethren who became apostles, Acts 14 and 14. If you turn there. Look at the Acts. Let's see. Acts is over here. I mean, 14. Turn 14. It's a little slower than an iPod. Stay there. And you stay there. Now, Acts 14. I know you're all way past me. Sorry. You have one hand working. It's a little bit different. Acts 14 and 14. Where are we at? They're preaching at Lystra. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They're out in the work of God in a foreign field. And which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you. Preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein," and so on down to finish it there. You know, you can read what he said. Did you notice the two new names that weren't in the naming of the 12? Paul and Barnabas. They became, somehow they grew, they were worked on, God worked in their lives and had given them this gift to be an apostle. And they, well, here they were preaching the gospel. And they're called Barnabas and Paul, they're called apostles. Somehow they got from, you know, well, Saul was Saul of Tarsus. So he had a long way to go just to get out of Damascus, which he did in 3 days or something. He was out of there. But Paul and Barnabas were apostles. So they could raise the dead. They could, you know, they had that gift. That was something that marked an apostle. Some of them were false apostles. We can look at that maybe another time. But they were false apostles because they wanted to use that kind of wonderful thing that was happening in a city or an area and say, hey, we could get some guys and we could charge people for this. You know, come down and get yourself a good cold fix or something, whatever you had. And you know, it's $10 or whatever. You know, they had to be the ones to administer those things and do those things because they were the ones with the gift. So we see here that it's Paul and Barnabas. Galatians 1:19. Galatians 1:19 says, but other of the apostles, Paul is talking about when he had gone up to Jerusalem and so on, they saw Peter and so on. They were accusing Paul. Some people were accusing him of all kinds of things. But he said to them, then after, this is Galatians 1:18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. I would take it that maybe not, but that Paul is saying that James, because he said, but other of the apostles saw I none. I don't know if it was, he meant just he didn't see James or he didn't see James that was the apostle. So you can